From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This week, with most schools on winter break, we're going to spend some time with different kinds of students and teachers. Today, we're going to go inside the karate studio of Louise Rafkin. She considers herself to be both a student and a teacher of karate. At Studio Naga in Oakland, California, about half of her students are adults and half of them are kids.
I teach kids to hit.
There you go. Follow it up. Good. Nice.
I teach kids to hit even though nearly all their parents tell them hitting is wrong. I teach them to hit, kick, punch, yell, pound, stomp, and elbow. Now there's a strike that can do some damage.
Go underneath. Use the snake. Get to the body. Good.
The eye gouge is a quick jab with splayed fingers. And the smash is a blow to the head with an upward thrusting knee. On the mat, I teach kids to lock out a shoulder so it will break and throw a Y-hand blow so that it thrusts directly at the front of the neck, catching the Adam's apple. Some of these techniques are too dangerous to use on each other. They do them in the air. But for the basic kicks and punches, they suit up in padded gear and they go at each other.
Good. Follow it up. Switch. Everybody, one more time in. Let's go. Get a partner. Quick. Stay up. Partner here from us, Annalie. Go.
During the fighting, there's times when I'm holding my breath, even as I'm telling them to breathe.
Hands up. Come on. Let me see him. Drop your eyes. Good. 1, 2, 3. Now. Kick. Follow it up with your hands. Kick. There you go.
There are days I wish I was teaching something more benign. But whether adults want to see it or not, childhood is an aggressive time. Kids live in the world of the playground. Pushing and pushing back is a big part of it. I know there is something important these kids get out of learning how to fight. Some of the kids are scared. Some of them are scarily fearless. Nia is agile. Her hair is pulled back from her face in perfect cornrows, each ending in a beautiful ringlet. She's 9, but she's the size of a 7-year-old.
I'm small, and I don't like to tell people what I weigh that much. Like, I'm not really excited about it. But I don't mind telling some people how much I weigh. 50 pounds.
50 pounds? But even though she's that little, I've put her in the adult fighting class because she's so focused and so good. She sometimes spars with men who weigh 200 pounds. She'll kick their knees, climb on their backs, get them to the ground where size isn't as much of a factor. The adults don't baby her, but they don't intimidate her either. I'm careful to keep that balance.
It felt really good to know that I can be respected.
She's learning how to use her hands like snakes and wrap up the guys' throats, and it's been working on them. Today, when a bigger boy comes at her with charging fists, a flicker of concern crosses her face. I can tell it's not easy for her. There's a moment when she freezes, but she doesn't back up or let up. Her arms are in ready position, and she manages to parry most of his punches. When I call time, she's damp with sweat, and we catch eyes. I can tell she knows that small isn't the same as powerless.
Switch, last fight. Go. Yeah, that was good, Miss Jeffrey. Go on with Miss Ethan and fix it up. Good. Hands are up. 1, 2, 3. Whoa.
Jeffrey's been training over 3 years now. He wears thick glasses and is super smart and, you know, is a little different from the other kids. He used to get bullied and picked on. He's told me training has changed his whole playground MO.
When I'm on the playground, sometimes somebody would try to hurt me, and parrying can really help. Usually I block the strike and I run away and hide, pretty much, and do something else.
Now he's made a truce, he says, with the class bully. He used to call this kid his enemy, and he tells me this boy has a kind of power.
I remember he once tried to hit me, and I parried him, and that was one of my favorite things, because the first time really had mattered.
He says his training has given him some of this power. I had no idea Jeffrey had this incredibly complicated analysis of the dynamics of training. He's got enough material for a PhD thesis on playground power politics.
I get a lot of my power from recess and sports, and I'm considered a very tough person.
What does it feel like to have power?
It feels like I'm not going to be some kicked out bum, but I don't get all that much power. I just have enough to be considered somebody.
Here at the studio, Jeffrey is somebody. He's got friends, and he's seen as someone who fights hard and doesn't give up. The martial art I teach is an Indonesian style, Pukulan Chimindi Tulan. It's beautiful and effective, and could even be deadly. And yet, above all, it emphasizes compassion. As we learn these many ways to hurt each other, we're called to respect each other deeply. Jeffrey feels this from his peers.
When I'm at Pukulan, I always feel very cool, and I feel like I'm in a community with people who I can trust and who I know. Even if it's been a really bad day at school, I always love to go to Pukulan.
We have a saying, an old meditation that came from Java with our founder. It says, "Always in history, those who loved fighting were destroyed, but those who could not fight were also destroyed." I know from doing this for nearly 20 years that learning to fight usually means not having to fight. As the kids hit each other, they're learning to stand up to whatever comes at them and to be responsible for what they do to others. I teach these kids hoping they won't ever have to use these skills, but I also don't want them to fear their own aggression, and I don't want them to be afraid.
Louise Rafkin is a fourth-degree black belt. She runs Studio Naga in Oakland, California. She's also a writer. Tomorrow, students from Curie High School in Chicago will introduce us to three of their teachers who mentor them after the regular school day is over.